this epistle that Paul has written to the Colossae believers, it is as modern as it is ancient. In fact, it is just as pertinent today as it is practical today, simply because this is, some of the old men called it, a Jesus book. Now, we understand and know that Genesis through Revelation is about Jesus Christ. 74 out of 95 verses in this little epistle is referencing, speaking of, and talking about Jesus Christ. It's about Him. He's in the house. It's about Him. Just give me Jesus. That's who we need, and that's what will help us today. In fact, this letter is greatly needed in our day. So many say, so many want a new experience. So many today need or think they need a new doctrine, a more relevant topic. They need some new exciting emotional thing. But Paul tells us and stresses throughout this epistle that simply the church needs to appropriate what we already have in Christ Jesus. It's Him, it's Him, it's Him. And that is enough. I've titled this in this series, Christ is All. He's everything. In fact, He's enough, and He's more than enough. He's sufficient for your need. He's your ticket to salvation. But we're getting ready to see, He's your ticket to sanctification. He is your everything today. It is Him and only Him. Paul writes this letter to combat a growing heresy that invaded this church. Gnosticism, most writers say. It had a bad idea that only a certain few that were high up or a certain elect could talk to God. But then the worst thing about it was Jesus was way down here. Paul for two chapters affirms the doctrines of Christ's deity. He affirms who Jesus is, why Jesus is, and because of Jesus is. He reminds us that everything was created by Him. Everything was created by Him and for Him. He tells us that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. He is preeminent in all things. He also tells us in Him, that's Christ He's talking about. In Him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He tells us again, in Him, that's Christ He's talking about, is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is His name. He's enough. He's supreme. He's sufficient. He was enough in 62 AD when most say that this was penned. He was enough before then. He was enough now. And He'll be enough forevermore. Jesus will and always will be enough. In fact, He's enough for every spiritual and practical need that any believer would have. Jesus is simply enough. But in our text this morning, like many of his epistles, Paul begins from doctrine to duty. I'm glad Christianity is personal this morning, but also Christianity is practical. In fact, what we believe will affect how we behave. In fact, Christ, he goes from Christ is our Lord to Christ is our life. He is, and I know that you know this, but I just want to remind you, He's everything. He's everything for the church today. First thing I want us to see in this portion of Scripture is the reiteration of our possession. The reiteration of our possession. Paul said, if ye then be risen. He uses that word if, but it is not implied in our text. It is in view of or since. It has the notion of reality and certainty. Paul here was not, absolutely not questioning the Colossians' salvation. In fact, he told them he loved them and would thank God for the hope that they had, prayed for them, and the faith that they had in chapter 1. Amen. He was not questioning their salvation at all. He was basically saying, since, yeah, if ye then be risen with Christ. The first thing we're going to have to be reminded of this morning, if we're going to live out our practical Christian life, even in a COVID world, even in a world that's gone wrong, we're going to have to remember our possession and our position. If ye then be risen, you've got something to shout about. If ye then be risen, you've got something to sing about. If ye then be risen, you've got a rock to hold on to. If ye then be risen, you've got help for your life and your future. If gives us a sense of fact. Paul was affirming the resurrection fact. In fact, he tells us, if ye then be risen, that word risen in our text actually means co-resurrected. I'm getting ready to get a glimpse of my treasure. Co-resurrected. Say, I didn't feel that. I want to tell you, no matter if you felt it, God claimed it to be so. He said it to be fact. He tells me and tells me in his word that I was dead, that I died with Christ, and that I resurrected with him. If ye then be risen, God has never been interested in antiques. He ain't interested in wiping the polish and the rust off of me. In fact, he's never been interested in that. He told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. He made me a new man. He gave me a new creature. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Died to that old nature and was risen with him. Hallelujah for my position this morning. Reiteration of our possession. In fact, this is Paul's great secret. This is Paul's great supreme truth, in fact, to fight all false religion. Jesus is alive, and I'm alive with him, and gonna live forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. For that reiteration. I don't know about you. You're probably a little bit more spiritual than me. But I have to be reminded of that time to time. I have to be reminded of that time to time. I am a nobody. I understand that. But in Christ Jesus, I am a somebody. He didn't get much when he got me. But I got everything. Died to that old nature and resurrected. If ye then be risen. Now I must confess this morning, Satan can handle me. You won't probably get any more honest preaching anyhow. It wouldn't take much. For me to get out of gear. Satan can holler boo, and a lot of times I want to run. But I've been risen with Christ. He can handle me, but he can't touch the one that's in me. He can't handle that unity that's in me. He can't touch the nature that's dwelled up inside of me. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah for that possession this morning. Not only this morning was there a reiteration of our possession, there was a responsibility to our position. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We have a reminder here of a responsibility. The Word of God is the only source of spiritual direction. In fact, Paul's message here is that the Colossae believers and that you and I would be established in our faith, that we would continue to kindle the fire, that we would continue to bring people to Jesus, that we would continue to practically live out Christ living in us. You want to have an impact at your church this weekend. You want to have an impact in your community. And if you want to have an impact in your home, you live out Christ living in you. Seeking and setting those things that are above. Now this, I'm not real smart, but I did get this. Why does he tell us to look above? Because that's where Jesus is at. That's where he's sitting. He's sitting on his throne on the right hand of the Father. He's there. He's there. He's there. And we must keep our attention. We must keep our affection on him. In fact, Paul directed believers to be preoccupied. He wanted the church, and we've done this for 2 weeks. So I'm just reminding you. I'm reminding you when this is over to do it next week. I'll remind you in our text that verb seek and that one in verse 2 to set, those are both in present tense. That means we don't do it just 2 weeks at camp meeting and then we stop. That means it is a continual action. Christ living in us, us setting and seeking our attention and affection towards him has to be a continual, habitual lifestyle for the child of God. In fact, this will mark true spirituality and mark practical holiness. The direction of our activities, that word to seek implies having an urgency, having a desire and an ambition to seek for and to seek after. The church's entire disposition should point, we should be pointing ourselves toward heaven. Living out down here. Yeah. Yeah. What's living in here? Yeah. That is the church. There's where we'll have an impact. Yeah. There's where people will see Jesus. When we are seeking, when we have a desire, when we have an ambition, when we have an urgency for the things above. Amen. Then the direction of our affection to set. Affection gives the idea to direct one's mind. Paul is stressing here to the church and to us, our seeking and thinking ought to be on Jesus. I'm glad that Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting seeks and thinks about Jesus. We've got kids singing about Jesus. We've got preachers preaching about Jesus. We've got people shouting about Jesus. He's it. He's enough. I don't have anything else to give you. Christ is all. Christ is supreme. And he's sufficient for you today. Our direction, our affection ought to be where things are above. Paul expected the church to practice out what they were in position. In fact, His desire for the church was that they'd keep their future home, the future of Christ's return, at the forefront of their minds.
Amen.
I haven't been doing this real long, but I do know this. We all go through struggles. And I want to tell you, people will let you down. But He told us never to look to people. He told us to set our affection and to seek for those things above. Because He'll never fail you. He'll never fall short. He'll always be faithful. Charles Ryrie said this, and I quote, and I'm done. Become and experience what you already are by God's grace. And Wiersbe said this, for what you are looking for will certainly affect what you are living for. That is my message this morning.